May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. O Lord of hosts, my ruler and my God, at your altars, even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing in your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs, and early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield and bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed are those who trust in you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Ephesians. This is the final week of the series we've been following through this book that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. In this passage, Paul uses a metaphor of the armor of God. Sometimes, as this enters our Christian imagination, we think of wearing physical armor and carrying armaments and then justifying them with the qualities described here. But I would note that here the armor of God is the quality of life, the ethics and the virtue of our Christian faith. I invite you to listen closely and see what you hear as we listen to these verses from Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O holy God, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. I've been thinking of this armor of God that is described here in the letter to the church in Ephesus, this image that's attributed to Paul, used to give the church a way of thinking of how to put on your faith, how to wear it in a way that allows you to feel strengthened, prepared, ready to withstand in the world. I think that superheroes haven't done us a lot of favors in helping us try to read this passage. Because here in Ephesians, we're told to fasten a belt of truth around our waist. I, of course, think of Wonder Woman, who had a lasso of truth, right? But it was not merely the truth. It was a physical, if sort of magical, lasso that she could throw around someone else. And when, you all are Wonder Woman people, right? When you're caught by the lasso, you have to tell the truth. There is a physical, coercive power in a lasso she can hold and that can hold you. But here in Ephesians, this belt of truth, I don't think the writer of Ephesians was imagining the same sort of thing. Not a physical belt at all, certainly not one mystical belt of truth that was found on an imaginary planet somewhere, imbued with... See, clearly, I've hit the limit of my knowledge of the Wonder Woman canon. I don't know from where came the lasso of truth. But this belt of truth, the one here in Ephesians, there's not just one of them. It's the decision that each one of us can make every day. We can perhaps make it again as we get dressed in the morning. I've worn no belts today, so who knows what will happen. As we get dressed today, each day we might think about choosing again to be people who speak and live with truth and integrity in our words, with a fearlessness, a conviction and commitment to saying things that are true and just and right. The belt of truth in Ephesians is not a mystical object. It's a human choice that's given through the power of God as a strength that prepares us for the challenges of each day. Ephesians continues, now that we've got our belt fastened around our waist, we're invited to put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is not put on a good, strong breastplate, Kevlar vest, and then justify it with self-righteousness. That's not what it says here in Ephesians. Put on righteousness, which requires checking to make sure what you think is right is good with God. Requires constant attention and attunement to, with humility, to recognizing our need for reshaping and correction. As we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we're putting on the humble confidence that we're leading and living from a posture of believing that we have discerned what God wants for our lives and the world, and we're acting out of that, unlike a physical breastplate, the breastplate of righteousness, the guards our torso, the critical bits, including both, I will note, heart and guts. The breastplate of righteousness covers our core, and unlike physical breastplates, righteousness can be perfected. We can get more right with God, with our understanding of ourselves and the world, with the needs of this moment as we go. It adapts. Not that righteousness is relative, but our understanding of what was right deepens as we come to experience the world and see through the eyes and experience of others. It continues, we should wear sensible shoes, it says. Well, it doesn't exactly say that. It says, whatever will help you be ready to proclaim the gospel of peace are the shoes we should wear. We should stand on a readiness and eagerness to proclaim the gospel of peace. We carry a shield of faith, which is our trust that having put on truth and righteousness and a commitment to peace, that God will not abandon us. The shield of faith, then, is possible to be held. Again, it's not a physical object. It's our confidence in God. We move through the world as if protected by a shield of faith because we have chosen to live our commitment to peace with the guard of righteousness and our commitment to truth. And then we get a helmet, the helmet of salvation, which I imagine as a sort of a crown, a sort of a confidence that what we are in this moment is not all that there is, but life and faith connects us to something that is eternal and true. Now, of course, we Christians often get into trouble because we, as the old preachers used to say, backslide. We forget, we get distracted, we get thrown off, we get afraid, we get lonely, we get uncertain, our odds don't seem good, and so we're tempted to trade in these preparations, this armor, for something that looks a little more, well, sensible, because we look foolish, headed out into life with nothing to protect us but our faith and the truth and our belief that what we're doing is right and good and will lead us to peace. It looks foolish to enter the world this way. You look defenseless and unprepared. And so we take up things that we think will protect us. The danger is that we take up things that we think will protect us, but our description of us becomes quite limited. It's us as an individual, me, or my family, and it then changes my relationship to the world around. This passage from the final piece of the book of Ephesians begins with cosmic perspective, describing how we're fighting not against flesh and blood, but against cosmic forces of darkness, which is, if you've been around a while, not the general vocabulary of the theology we describe here at church. We tend not to talk about the forces of darkness and the devil moving and shaping in our world. These are uncomfortable, sort of itchy and awkward theologies. But they help us because they give us a way to name that the evil in the world is not individuals, but it's something bigger. It's not flesh and blood, but it's something connective. The evil we experience in the world is amplified by being spread in communities and organizations. It takes the form of evil that is insidious, fearful ideas that give us theologies that are twisted and describe how some people are more worthy than others, some more righteous than others, how we ought to fear and exclude and divide and conquer and claim for ourselves the resources of the world. It's against those forces that we're invited to put on this strange, radical, wild, dangerous armor of God to move about, guarded by truth and our belief in our righteousness. With faith as our shield and shoes that will lead us toward peace, with a trust in the salvation of God. I was thinking about the strangeness of this message, how countercultural it feels to, as an institution and organization that has built beautiful sanctuaries like this, and how a beautiful sanctuary like this is just the tip of the iceberg of the physical manifestations of the power of the Christian church in our nation and around the world. Christian theologies have been unhelpfully used to justify harm and oppression, killing and claiming other people and other land through time. There's a danger in becoming powerful that you think, in addition to these virtues, we need stuff, physical shields, physical objects. But here in the gospel, we're told to fasten truth, to carry faith, to walk a way that leads to peace, to push back against a world bent on making us afraid with the confidence that comes from claiming our belonging in God. The gift of this way of moving in the world is that we become strong, not in the typical expected sense of strong, not so strong that I could squash you, but so strong that I will withstand. In fact, in Ephesians, withstand is the goal of this. Perseverance is our promise. The invitation of the gospel is to be people who know the strength of God. Now, I will note that these prayers to be strong included here in this text are in a strange verb tense. To be made strong is in a passive imperative. To be made strong. It's not, I don't know, I grew up with a family that sometimes told me to just walk it off when I faced trouble, which is to gather your power and by your own might push through. It's not a strength that depends primarily on the individual, but to be made strong, to be strengthened by the power of God is given to us by God, not of our own virtue, power, strength, and capability, but by something larger than ourselves. This strength connects us to the community of faith, which led me down a path to think about compassion this week. This is why I was searching Greek words and discovered compassion belonging in our guts. The resource I used said bowels, but that seemed like a strange word to use with our kids. Compassion is held in our bowels. It's a strange idea, isn't it? But then not so strange, as I think about my physical experience of living in the world, it is my stomach that most often feels the tension, the upset, the sense that things are not right, a discomfort with what's happening and my own part in it. I have compassion for trouble in the bowels. That can be horrible. It's a sort of human sensibility, an ordinariness and an extraordinariness to the common struggle of living in bodies like ours. And to think about compassion as being held in our gut has been to me helpful. Of course, the ancient Near Eastern imagination, as it envisioned sentiments like compassion residing in our bowels. You didn't know you were going to hear the word bowels so much in church this morning, did you? But here we are. Envisioned compassion residing in our bowels did not have the same detailed understanding of human anatomy that was possible after advances in medical practice and, you know, people started looking more deeply and inside the human body to see systems and how they worked. The term translated here as bowels really referred to like everything in here, from lungs and heart all the way down to intestines, stomach, all of it is your insides. This vague term describes the whole of our bodies. I started thinking about what a gift it has been to have a theological vocabulary that notices our bodies because they're what we have for experiencing the world. I've come to have greater trust in and a need for awareness of what's happening in my physical body. When I was 16, I could just sort of push on, and the thing that was feeling a bit off would usually work itself out. But now, in middle age, I find I need to give more attention to my body. Some of you have more years of experience you can give testimony to than I do. I suspect it only increases as we go. The need to tend these bodies as the form that we have that enables us to live, to participate in God, in the world, in community, to share and bear compassion and care. We have to care for our bodies and the bodies of others. And compassion is part of the connective work that enables us to know that what we're experiencing is experienced by others as well. Compassion gives us a way to give ourselves a break, to let ourselves off the hook when things aren't as smooth or as easy as we had imagined, when the place we end up isn't where we thought we'd be at all. Compassion acknowledges what is and offers grace. And then we have compassion for others, and it acknowledges where another is and lets them off the hook. Maybe they also aren't where they hoped or imagined they would be. Compassion becomes a mechanism that allows us to know that we are, that we will be, and that there is a way through. Compassion gives us a spacious place in which we can be and belong and know that we are worthy. When I was getting ready for, I have a Wonder Woman bracelet I sometimes wear. I'm not wearing it today. It's my armament that I put on when I'm doing something that I feel not fully prepared. Do you ever have to do something you feel not fully prepared for? Is that just me? Okay, very good. Sometimes I know that something's coming. I feel not equipped, not ready. I put on my Wonder Woman bracelet and it reminds me, it doesn't like physically deflect bullets, but it reminds me that I go bearing the strength of God, which is not mine. And it has strength far better than I could ever manufacture. Because it comes from God and not from me, my own inadequacies don't impact its strengthening powers and capabilities. You with me? Sometimes it's a piece of jewelry or a piece of clothes that reminds me that I am not only myself. I'm not left only to myself, but I participate in something much bigger. That I am here because I stand on the shoulders of ancestors in faith who have prepared me for this moment. Parents and grandparents and Sunday school teachers and friends who've helped me understand who I am and how I belong. And ancestors in the faith whose music has helped me know the love of God, whose theology, whose witness has moved through the millennia to give me confidence that I can withstand this moment. As I stand today, I know that I am not here just myself, but in continuity with all that's come before. And I understand that I have a responsibility to live faithfully in that continuity so that those who come after me will also be able to stand on my shoulders and be strengthened by my life and witness. Sometimes I need something to put on, those sensible shoes that prepare me to proclaim peace, or a bracelet or a ring. Maybe it's just imagined as a belt of truth in the morning or a breastplate of righteousness. But we are invited to be people who wrap ourselves in reminders of the faith that we're a part of and allow it to prepare us to live out the strength of God in a world where there is too little compassion, where division and fear seem simpler than the hard work of unity across diversity. We're invited to dare to believe in the world-changing possibility that love is stronger even than death, to claim belonging in a Savior who went through the cross to resurrection, who gives us confidence to foolishly stand wearing nothing but that silly belt we imagined as we looked in the mirror this morning, a bracelet that we think prepares us for living in the world, salvation as an imagined hat to guide us through the world. Facing challenges that seem insurmountable and impossible and far too powerful, but it's who we are and what we're called to be and how we persist in the world. So this week, I invite you to be people, as you get ready in the morning, to be attentive to how it is that you're carrying, wearing, being dressed by your faith, your trust in righteousness and truth, a fearless setting down of other things we think we need to make us safe, and a taking up of our belonging in God, that declares that we are indeed beloved, that we are those who've inherited a wondrous and beautiful faith, who will embody it and pass it on for generations to come. May it be so. Amen.